Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Texas Conflict Coach Radio Program. If you have ever experienced or engaged in destructive or unresolved conflict, then you know it leads to broken relationships, distrust, and damaging results. Our program will help you manage and resolve conflict effectively with strategies, valuable resources, and support. I am your host, Patty Porter. My guest hosts, Dina Zemeta and Stephen Kotev, along with our guest experts, will share our experiences, raise your awareness, and give you food for thought. We will share with you problem-solving strategies, no matter what your situation is, at work, with neighbors or friends, family, business partners. Tune in or join in the conversation every Tuesday evening. Good evening, everyone. This month is about honoring the intertwining of arts and peace building. And so we continue our series with Adam Burke, representing the Dances of Universal Peace, Dance and Pray Together for Peace. Now, our program will explore how the Dances of Universal Peace can help to open the way toward conflict management and peace building. Over more than 45 years, the Dances of Universal Peace have traveled to as many as 50 countries and more than 200 circles meet regularly in North America alone. The dances help to bring people together in the spirit of understanding, cooperation, and peaceful coexistence, and help to awaken enduring peace in the hearts of all participants. Now, again, with me is Adam Burke. He is a certified dance leader and is in his sixth year serving on the board of directors of the nonprofit organization, Dances of Universal Peace North America, and this serves the United States and Canada. Adam leads twice-monthly dances in the Phoenix area and has led dances, kirtan, and other sacred music as part of peace gatherings and holiday celebrations at camps and retreats across the Southwest, Midwest, Hawaii, and as far away as India. So, Adam, welcome to our program and being part of our series this month.
Thank you, Patty, for inviting me to talk about the Dances of Universal Peace.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is what our show is about, is educating the public worldwide about all areas of conflict and peace building and in very unique ways. And so with your years of experience being part of that, I'm excited to be able to introduce folks who are unfamiliar, like myself, with the Dances of Universal Peace. So I know you wanted to do something a little special tonight to start off our program, so let me just turn it over to you.
Okay, thanks. So most of our Dances of Universal Peace gatherings begin by setting an intention. The group sets an intention together. And I'd like to begin this conversation by holding that same intention in the form of this invocation. So I'll just recite it, and that way your listeners can hear this and just feel into it, just to see if it resonates with you. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Amen.
That's a wonderful prayer. And one I think I heard when I was experiencing the circle. But so let's talk about this intention that y'all do with the Dances of Universal Peace. Talk a little bit about this nonprofit organization.
Okay, so there are two aspects. There's the work of the Dances of Universal Peace, and then there are the nonprofit organizations that support the work. And so Dances of Universal Peace International maintains, it's our international organization that maintains a website and a database of resources for our dance leaders worldwide. And it's published in four languages, and there are more languages soon to be added. And the board on which I serve is, the organization is called Dances of Universal Peace North America, and it's a regional sub-org of the international organization serving, as you mentioned in the introduction, the United States and Canada. And our work is primarily about providing resources, support, in information in the form of newsletters and an extensive website, which includes listing of circles and events, retreats, and camps that happen annually across the region. So the work of the Dances of Universal Peace, to put it in the context of the purpose of your program, I would say that the dances help promote conflict prevention even more than conflict resolution. And the reason I say that is because people come to the dances with an intention, with an intention to become more harmonious and compassionate and more connected with other people in the community and also with their own inner peace, to touch into that and develop that in whatever form or whatever way they see that. So most people discover that doing this over time helps one to become more peaceful and therefore to behave more harmoniously in their families and with their friends and at work and in the community. And that has certainly been true for me. And as far as conflict resolution is concerned, like with any community, as we all know, conflicts do arise. And so those of us with experience with the Dances of Universal Peace have the resource to recall when conflict arises. And the primary resource would be the intention that we come to the dances with. And those are the ideals of love, harmony, and beauty that I mentioned in the invocation. And so the dances actually help us to develop practical skills in dealing harmoniously and beautifully with others, because in the dances we interact with others within a gentle container of acceptance and tolerance, and we learn about others' needs as well. So while I and others around the world facilitate dance gatherings, it's really not about the leader. There really is no leader. The leader is just the facilitator, because we take hands in a circle together and we really see each other as equals. So one of the things we learn by dancing with others, having set that intention to interact harmoniously and with the beauty of music and dance, is something that that you, the listener, can do even without coming to a dance meeting. And that is, when reflecting on any conflict that may have arisen with someone, you can ask yourself, how might I have done this more beautifully? And when you encounter another situation, you might go into it and asking yourself, how can I approach this in the most beautiful, harmonious way? So this is something that everyone can try, whether or not they have any interest in dancing.
Mm. Okay. Now, tell us, though, a little bit about your own personal story of what motivated you to become part, or how you even found yourself getting involved with the Dances of Universal Peace.
Okay. So I've been involved with the dances since about 1995. And I came in first as a drummer and musician for our local circle. There was the fellow who was leading dances in my community participating in a Beltane festival, a May Day festival that another friend was putting on. And I was drumming for that event, and he asked me if I would stay and drum for the Dances of Universal Peace, and I said, sure, I'd be happy to. And I was hooked right away, because what drew me in was that the emphasis in the Dances of Universal Peace on learning about and celebrating all of the world's spiritual or wisdom traditions by way of singing and moving very simply and with this prayerful intention to help foster harmony and peace in ourselves and in the world. So I was hooked right away. And then since 2008, I began leading dances in 2007. And in 2008, I received certification as a dance leader. And then in 2009, was invited to join the board of directors for the nonprofit for North America. And I continue to lead dances twice a month in the Phoenix area, And for special events that happen, like the World Day of Peace, and we've done a flash mob and many other events, and peace demonstrations, things like that. And also I lead at regional retreats around the Southwest U.S., and I've led dances in Hawaii, and as you mentioned in the intro, even as far away as India.
You know, it's this whole concept of coming together, you know, for, like you said, for this intention of to be harmonious, inner peace, and connected. And what's interesting, because I did one of our own homework assignments. You know, listeners, you tune in quite a bit and know that we always end our assignments, our shows, with assignments for the week. And in the planning call with Adam, he actually gave me my own field work to do, and that was to experience one of the dance gathering circles. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And because I there was very much this gentle container, as you were talking about, of tolerance, this gentle container of holding tolerance, of being acceptance, and to really be open. Like you said, people go in with the intention, right, of, you know, love, harmony, and beauty. And as for a first-timer who's never been there, I certainly felt that people who accepted me, who've never met me, only one person knew I was coming, was a really interesting experience. So why don't we go to the process of describing what this, you're calling it a dance gathering or a circle, and what people can expect to experience when they do walk through that door for the first time.
Sure, I'd love to, and feel free to reflect on any other experiences you had when you went, and I'm so glad you did. So a typical meeting, people arrive, and usually the meetings are, you know, 2 hours long, the gathering's 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half, and usually, every leader leads differently, but usually the gathering will begin with a simple walk, a walking practice, simply usually walking counterclockwise around the room together. The leader will invite people to begin to relax and to feel into their breath, to really become conscious of their breath, to become really present to the moment and to the space that we're in and to the body that we're walking in, like that. And maybe concentrating on a sacred phrase or intention. Often we take the beginning of the invocation I said at the beginning of the call, just the phrase toward the one, and we walk and breathe with that phrase. And by the one, we're talking about the unity. It could be any name could describe that unity, but it's what connects us all as human beings and as inhabitants of planet Earth, and that's what we're celebrating, really. And so then we then come in facing the center, and we take hands and we form a circle, and the circle represents that unity, and that's why we circle up, as we say. And then usually the leader will give a brief orientation to new folks. I hope that happened in your case. Maybe say a few words about what the dances of universal peace are and where they began, and, you know, what the purpose is. And then we recite that invocation, usually, that I said at the beginning, to set the tone for the evening or the session. And then over the hour and a half or 2 hour period, the leader will guide everyone in very simple dances. You might share your impressions of what we mean by dances. They're very simple, usually just taking a few steps in, taking a few steps back, a couple of steps to the right, a couple of steps to the left, and maybe turning to the right and turning to the left, always rejoining hands in the circle. And that's what we mean by dances. There's no experience required, and one doesn't have to be a dancer or a singer, because this is really a folk dance, a process that's very, very simple. So that's how it looks, and then the leader will give some greater detail about the words that we'll be singing, because the group sings the music together. Often the leader will play guitar or drum or maybe just sing a cappella, but the idea is that the leader teaches the very simple song to the group and the very simple movements, and then we all do it together. And again, the emphasis is on unity, that we're all moving and singing together. Our breath becomes synchronized in this way. Our steps become synchronized. And it's a very beautiful experience. So some of the songs that we sing, most of the dances borrow phrases from the world's great wisdom tradition. So we might sing a Buddhist song, and maybe using a mantra like Om Mani Padme Hum. And then the next dance might be from the Christian tradition, where we might sing something like Kyrie Eleison, Christe Eleison, or even we have many dances now set to the in the language of Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. So the beginning words of the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, Abun Debashamaya. And we close the dances by saying, you know, with a closing that's appropriate to that tradition. So we, for a Christian dance, we might say Amen, or a Jewish dance, we might say Amen. If we're doing a Muslim dance or singing in Arabic, we might say Amin, so similar to Amen. Or we might take the Aramaic and say Amen. Or if it's a Buddhist dance or a Hindu dance, we might take from Sanskrit and we might say Svaha. Or honoring the pagan traditions, we might say So Mote It Be. Or we might say Om Shanti, affirming peace, like that. So that's a typical dance meeting, although sometimes we have gatherings that encompass a full day or an entire weekend, or we have retreats that last as long as a week or 10 days even. And those retreats can include many other activities, not just dancing, but meditation, other kinds of group activities, such as talking circles. I noticed on your Conflict Coach website that you have someone has spoken about talking circles, and we do those also at our retreats.
So very expansive, and I'm going to come back to the experience I had with the dance circle, but I'm just letting folks know that you have tuned in to the Texas Conflict Coach Blog Talk Radio program, and we are talking with Adam Burke with Dances of Universal Peace North America, and he's out of Arizona right now, and I want to thank the guests who are joined us in the chat room and, of course, those following us in the Twitter feed. The experience that I had was just a couple of weeks ago, actually. I traveled about an hour and a half to go to this dance circle. There was not one in San Antonio, but it was in a very nice part of the hill country in Texas. And Bill was the leader, and he was very, very inviting and warm and very genuine. And he had a drum, a guitar, and there was another gentleman who played an instrument I never heard of called the harmonium. Looked like a piano / accordion or something. It's very interesting. Harmonium.
Right.
I don't know if you know what that is. I'm sure
I play the I play the harmonium myself sometimes.
Oh yeah, so that was very interesting to have that as well. And so Bill, because I was the newcomer, and there was about 12 people, 11 people.
Uh-huh.
So it was a nice group. It wasn't huge, but it was a small intimate group, and we met in someone's home, and she had everything cleared out, and he was very welcoming and opening, and did set a little bit of an orientation to explain a little bit, just like you said they would do. And what I liked about, there were so many things I liked about the experience, and one, everyone was so genuinely kind and just loving and very gentle and very, you know, guiding, because if you're not used to speaking in other languages, because as you said, it honors the dances or movements of other traditions and other, you know, religions. And so Bill would not only teach us the song, very, very, very simple songs, But if you were learning new language, that was very interesting. So he was very patient and teaching us all the songs, having us repeat it. Then he would teach us a very, very simple dance steps. And when you and I first talked, I kept thinking, okay, dancing, you know, is this, you know, everyone's just dancing however they, you know, however it comes in their body, and they're just, you know, and it's not that at all. It's very connected and very taught, and everyone's very clear. And then if you get lost, they're there to, you know, guide you. And but it's all about that connecting, very simple as you described, and very, very, very simple and very easy. So it's not like the strenuous, you know, like you're line dancing or something. It's very,
yes,
very connected. And oftentimes there were partners. You would do a little bit of partner work, and then you would join back in the circle again. But the thing about it is people, and then there's a lot of connection, so there's a lot of eye contact, and there's a lot of holding hands. There's a lot of coming into the circle together and really, you know, making that, you know, connection spiritually, and especially when you're really looking at someone's eyes and you're singing these songs or prayers from these other religions. And so that was a very powerful experience in that regard. And about halfway through is when he did some of the meditation, where we either sat, most of us sat in various places, and then he just guided us through some focused breathing and relaxing and being present in that way, and then came back together and did some more of the dancing. So, again, a really powerful, interesting experience. I really enjoyed it, and I'm so glad that you invited me to do that, and I thank Bill for being so open and inviting, and everybody else that was there too. So, wonderful experience.
Beautiful. I'm so glad. And what you describe is very typical. Most circles feel just like that and happen in just that way. So as you mentioned, you know, one of the, you know, obvious and hopefully immediate benefits that a person may derive from coming to a dance meeting is to learn more and to develop tolerance around other traditions, other cultural traditions, other religious views, other ways of relating to the divine. That's something that's quite exoteric about this work. And then at a deeper level, this stuff you mentioned about, you know, gazing into each other's eyes and the intimacy of the gathering really helps to bring us into a deeper understanding of ourselves and our own relationships with others. So speaking from my own experience, the dances over the many years I've been involved with them have certainly helped me to become more relaxed and open around others.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a greater sense of belonging, not only in the dance circle, but in the world, really, in my community, among my friends and my family. And because of the gentleness and the warmness of the people in the community, I came to learn that I really am cared for, and I came to learn how to care more effectively for others. It's some of the more subtle work that happens in the Dances of Universal Peace, but very powerful stuff. And at the deepest level, especially for those who do this on an ongoing basis, the dances help us to learn that when any conflictual feelings arise within ourselves, we need to look inside ourselves for the source of that. Because the source of negative feelings or of conflict and emotion, strong emotions, the source of that is really inside of us, rather than as a result of what someone else is doing or how they treat me like that. So the Dances of Universal Peace have helped me to look at my own reactivity with others, and again, within a container that's gentle, easeful, non-judgmental. Initially when I would dance and I would approach someone and take their hands and have to look into their eyes while I'm singing, you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable with singing, you know, how good is my voice? You know, how is this person reacting to me? You know, I'm feeling nervous. I kind of don't want to lock eyes. I kind of want to look away. And over time, you begin to see the sources of those sorts of feelings that arise within us. I began to see the source of those feelings arising within me and to relax around them. So, you know, this is one way that the arts can be employed to inform conflict resolution by helping us to become more peaceful people and by holding the ideals of love, harmony, and beauty as we interact with others.
Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned that because, you know, this could, I mean, as far as the initial experiences, because when I got there, obviously not knowing anybody, and, you know, that was uncomfortable for me, and yet they almost made it impossible to not be not comfortable, right? And as the time, and I'm pretty good with eye contact and all that, but it was very, you know, I kept thinking, why am I feeling uncomfortable at the beginning? I really found myself saying, why am I feeling uncomfortable initially, you know? But as we continue to do those and really realize that this was very open to, you know, the unity, as you said, the one, there really is truly, there's no hypocrisy around that. I mean, it's really, really open to all of those things. And there were some of the dances that were some of my favorites, because of the message it was conveying, especially in different languages and whatnot. There was even one on the earth, water, fire, wind, rain. Anyway, the elements of the earth. And so anyways, but you do, I think you're right. The more you do that, I can only imagine, but just even in that 2-hour time frame, the more we did it, the more relaxed I became and the more it felt comfortable being around them, because they just were so open and warm and accepting. It's like, how can you not just kind of melt, you know? But I can imagine if you do it all the time regularly. I mean, I think people do it, what, once or twice a month or something of that nature.
Every community is different. So some communities have only one a month, and some have once a week. And then also, if you go to a retreat and you're doing this for, say, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or for a whole week with people like this, then it really is a deepening and opening experience, even more so. And so I really encourage you and anyone who, you know, is interested to go to a dance meeting. And if you really like it, consider going to a retreat. They happen all around the country and all year round. In a lot of places, not during the cold winter, but you can come out to Arizona where it's warm.
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. In fact, before we go into the closing, what I wanted to ask is, in the long term, the people that have experienced this and changed their lives, is there at least one story? Probably only have time for one example or one story, but is there a particular story that really connects with you about how it's really changed people's lives to be part of this?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, and there are so many. You know, there, we have leaders who are working in Brazil, Colombia, in other places in South America, working with youth who are, you know, we'd say at-risk youth, youth who are involved in getting into gangs in the favelas in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, and bringing these young folks into dance circles. And many of these young people are wanting to take up leadership and learning to lead the dances of universal peace. And so then they become leaders in their communities rather than forces for destruction and violence. They become forces for peace. So, I mean, there are so many examples of that around the world. The dances have happened in the Middle East, where Christians and Jews and Muslims have come together and held hands in circles and have that we have a particular dance where we sing, "Peace be with you and with you be peace." And we sing it in English and also in Arabic, "Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam." And we sing it also in Hebrew, "Shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom." And what a powerful thing that is for people who are normally or who are so often at odds with each other to come together and wish each other peace. So those are just a couple of very brief examples.
Well, thank you. I know you have a very, very rich website with a lot of the videos that people can watch. So let's talk about an assignment for the week or a call to action. And tell some folks about some things that they can do around maybe finding a dance gathering.
Okay, so I would encourage everyone to visit the following website. You would just type out Dances of Universal Peace and then put an N-A for North America. So Dances of Universal Peace, N-A.org. And there you will find the website that actually, as a board member, I'm the manager of. And there are many, many resources there on the front page. There's kind of an overview of the purpose and history of the dances. And then if you look around at the menu items, you'll find a tab for videos. And you can look at some of the videos we have posted there that will show dance circles happening. There's an extensive video that's like 22 minutes long that where you know many people are interviewed about, you know, many of them really longtime dancers and talking about their experiences over many years with the Dances of Universal Peace. And then also on that website are listings for, there's a map. There's a menu item called Find the Dances, and that will bring up a map. And when you click on your state or your province, if you're in Canada, you will see a list of dances that are near you. And not every state has a dance meeting, but most of them do. And some of them have many, you know, 10 or 15 different meetings happening in the state. So I encourage everybody to look at that map and find a dance meeting near you. We also have listings of the annual retreats. If you look under one-time events, you can find retreats and camps that happen all around North America. So I encourage you to explore that website.
Now, you mentioned that you yourself were doing a retreat. Say a little bit more about that. It's in Arizona, I believe.
That's right. So in the spring, this will be the fourth annual Southwest Regional Dance Camp at a remote location in eastern Arizona. There's an intentional community there called the Wind Spirit Community, and they have their own website. And you'll find the listing for my dance retreat, and it's simply called Wind Spirit Dance Camp. You'll find that at the same website I just referred you to. So that happens. That's actually happening on Easter weekend, up in the beginning of April.
Is that March or April? April. Okay,
it's the first weekend of April.
Okay, great. And then people can look at that as well. I'm so glad that, you know, our show is about educating people about all types of conflict, conflict management, conflict prevention, conflict resolution. And, you know, the more that we find intention and harmony and love and peace within ourselves and beauty within ourselves and in each other, the more that we are ready to receive conflict and resolve it in more peaceful ways. But the more that we can prevent it and versus in an intervention mode, the more that we can be accepting, and as you said, with love, harmony, and beauty. And I'm so, so glad that we found y'all and that y'all agreed to be part of this and to educate us and our listening audience. And I thank you so much for being part of this. And I want to make sure to say all that because I'm going to give you the final message and closing comments, because I believe that you'll be ending with a prayer and then we'll be ending with our closing music. So thank you so much again, Adam, for being with us tonight.
And thank you so much, Patty, for having me on to talk about the Dances of Universal Peace.
So, Adam, I'm just going to turn it over to you to do your closing prayer.
Okay. Well, I would encourage anyone to consider some conflict that has arisen recently for you, maybe a conflict with a person, a coworker, a family member, and just ask yourself, envision, you know, remember what happened, and then just see if you can envision a way in which it might have happened more beautifully, especially from your side, how you might have reacted or spoken in a more beautiful way. And then if you find the source of any conflict or tension arising within you, just as we say, make friends with it and look at it gently and don't be afraid of it. We're all human and we all have strong feelings and reactions to others. It's quite natural. So I would close with this a very, very brief prayer that we close most of our dance meetings with, and it is simply this, our prayer, may all beings be happy. May all beings be well. Peace, peace, peace.
Thank you for listening to the Texas Conflict Coach. We hope you enjoyed the program. You can find all of our podcasts archived to listen at your convenience at TexasConflictCoach.com or download the podcast at iTunes or Stitcher Radio. You can also become a Facebook fan of Conflict Connections or Twitter me at TX Conflict Coach.